Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for December 4th, 2022 is based on Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is God Meets Us in Our Fear.
A reading from Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, or said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Today's theme in our Advent series, which is called From Generation to Generation, our theme today is God Meets Us in Our Fear. And when it's time for communion, if you happen to bring something that represents your fear or your grief, like we encourage you to do in our weekly newsletter, you may place it up here on our Advent altar, joining all of our ancestor materials that people brought last week. And if you didn't bring something, but you do feel like you want to write something down, there's pen and paper up here if you would like to name your fear or your grief and lay it on the altar at the time of communion. But now, by the show of hands, I want us to know how many of you have ever been in a situation where you are gripped and frozen by fear. Has anyone ever been in those situations? Yeah. I want you to imagine that moment where you were gripped with fear. And did you manifest some sort of physical reaction to that fear? I had one of those moments this week. On Friday, I went for my annual eye exam. And when I went there, they told me they had this new state-of-the-art technology that can take high-definition photos of the inside of your eye, the entire inside of your retina in your eye. And it shows the doctor something like 10 times more of your retina than they can see when they simply just dilate your eyes and look in. So for $40 out of pocket, they tell me, I can have this procedure done, but I won't have to have my eyes dilated and wear those horrendous glasses the rest of the day and not really be able to focus. And since I had to work at Kings Island later that night, I thought, this is the best option. I'm going to pay the $40 and get this test. So I do it, and then I go through the rest of my normal procedures of checking my eyes and looking at my contacts. And then we get to view these high-definition photos on a big screen TV in the office, and I was really geeking out. It was really cool, especially because when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an eye doctor. And so I was really cool to see it, and he would point out where your optic nerve was and all of this stuff in your eye, and it was really awesome. And then he looks at them for a bit, and there's this pregnant pause. He turns to me and he says, "I have something that concerns me on these photos, and I want to show it to you." Well, all of a sudden, it felt like the bottom of my stomach fell out. He proceeded to tell me that there are these small dark spots on the periphery of my eye, which are actually holes or tears in my retina tissue. He said that it will lead to flashes of light and dark floaters and even the detachment of my retina from my eye, which will cause blindness. There's nothing I can do about it. Only thing you can do is monitor it. At this point, the fear is totally gripping me. I feel like I want to throw up. I feel like I want to cry. All of a sudden, I'm fearful of when I might go blind and how soon it's going to happen. My brain's racing 100 miles an hour, mourning the fact that I might not be able to physically see my kids graduate high school or get married or find their dream job. I just sat there, dumbfounded, in silence, with a look of fear and disbelief on my face. And then he turns to me and he says, "This is pretty common. These tears and these holes, they show up as you get older. And it's just the real thin tissue on the edges of your..." Gosh, my kids are crying. Whew. Ah, it was a lead up for a joke, Molly. It's okay. They begin to tear at the edges because that tissue is really thin as you get older. And it only leads to severe problems in a small number of people. And so you really don't need to worry about it unless you start to develop these symptoms when you get older. That's when we'll need to worry about it. Well, wouldn't it have been nice if you led with that part before sending me into a total panic? My fear began to dissipate and the knot in my stomach loosened. And while I only sat there in my state of fear for a short time, it was absolutely debilitating. And I can still feel it as I retell the story. Have you ever been in a situation where you were gripped and frozen in fear? In our story from Luke today, I can't even begin to imagine the fear that must have gripped Mary when the angel appeared to her. Our reading says that when the angel appeared to Mary and greeted her, that she was perplexed. Sure, I'm sure she was perplexed, but also that word in the original Greek translates into greatly disturbed. And so why might this 13-ish-year-old girl be greatly disturbed at the presence of an angel? Well, probably because angels don't always necessarily typically look like the ones we see in our children's books and on movies. Most of the time in Scripture, when angels show up, people are frightened, either because the angel is there with a flaming sword ready to do battle, or because they look like what Ezekiel describes in chapter 10. He says their entire bodies, including their backs and their hands and their wings, were full of eyes. Each of them had four faces: a face of a cherub, a face of a man, a face of a lion, and a face of an eagle. I don't know about you, but if that showed up in my room late at night, I would definitely be freaked out. The other clue that Mary might have been scared by the appearance of the angel is that immediately following the angel's greeting, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. And if she wasn't totally, completely petrified at that point, she's then told that soon she's going to become magically pregnant, which doesn't seem like a big deal unless you know the cultural customs of that time. See, for in order for Joseph and Mary to be betrothed, to be married, Joseph would have paid Mary's family a handsome dowry and would expect that she was a virgin. So if she suddenly became pregnant, Joseph might think that she committed adultery. And he'd have two options. He could have Mary stoned to death, or a public divorce, which would mean Mary would become maybe a single mother and likely never marry again. And when her parents died, she would have no means of support for her and baby Jesus. It seems like a pretty fear-inducing situation in which to put a young teenager. All that Mary could do was sit there in that moment in the fear and in the unknown. She couldn't run away from it. She had to endure it. Sometimes, too, we are in a situation where fear or grief grips us and it seems like there is no way out. But the story reminds us of two things, two bits of good news amidst the fear and grief in our lives. One, that God is always there with us, sitting beside us in our fear and our grief. God sends the angel to be with Mary, to encourage her, and to remind her, do not fear. God is with her. And the second thing is that God sends us people to journey with us in our fear and our grief. The angel tells Mary that her family member, Elizabeth, is also going to have a miracle baby. She has provided a companion to travel alongside her through the unknown. When we talk about the dissonance of sitting in the fear, yet also hearing the words, do not be afraid, I love the way that Dr. Christine Hong puts it. She says, perhaps the story and the dissonance of the angel's command are an invitation to sit with those who are experiencing the dissonance of a world moving on despite their personal struggle. A world that says, cheer up, move on, get over it, while they're still grieving or in fear. Perhaps this dissonance invites us to accompany people moving through their pain, as Mary and Jesus accompanied one another through life events that only the two of them understood. Despite the dissonance, they moved through the liminal and tender space of their lives together. In other words, God moved through that space with Mary, even when they were both afraid. If you aren't struggling with grief or fear right now in your life, how might we be like Elizabeth, walking alongside those people who are in need, for whom we can share our story and be with them? And if you are struggling with grief or fear in your life right now, know that God is always with you. God will put people in your lives to walk alongside you. That God will never forsake you, never leave you. God is always there for you with a heart of love. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.